Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm your host, Katie Mox. Happy Friday! Coming up on today's show, we'll recap the Bills' win over the Patriots on Thursday Night Football. The World Cup is still underway. We'll preview Team USA versus the Netherlands in the Round of 16 match this weekend. And we'll look back at the World Cup group stage moments that were our favorites, or actually Kenny's favorites, because my favorites are just Team USA winning and drawing and doing all the things that they've done. We'll also preview Week 13 NFL Sunday games. And of course, you've got some Mox Locks coming your way. But first, we'll welcome in our guest, Kenny Betts Big, or as he said in the pre-show, the betting Jesus. How you doing?
Yeah, that's the new nickname for anyone watching. How you doing, Katie?
I'm doing good. So, you know, we could kick right off and into the Mox thought right now and talk about the Bills win over the Patriots. Well, one, I was on the side of the Bills. I thought that the Bills were going to pummel them. What?
I was going to say, let's skip that one. We don't have to talk about that game.
No, Kenny. I forgot your Patriots. Your love for Tom Brady and the Patriots, I get kind of mixed up. You're kind of like a Bucks and Pats fan, but I do know you are a Pats fan. Here's the thing. I was on the right side of the game. I picked the Bills. I thought they were going to pummel them, but I got my butt kicked in props. I was just completely misread everything. I had Josh Allen over on his rushing. He'd been rushing for 51 yards per game, and he barely even moved his feet. I think he only had like 4 or 5 rush attempts. And then I also had Diggs under his receiving yards because he's been held to under what the prop was last night, which I believe was 83.5. And he just completely pummeled that. So I had a terrible night in props, but right on the side. I guess you didn't do well.
No, didn't do well at all. I actually got smoked on that game last night. I looked at it and I said, I've been doing so well. I've been so hot in the NFL. I was like, maybe I should like go easy on this one and not play it, because I thought it was weird, right? Like, anyone who knows football is looking at that line saying the Bills should easily cover 4 points here tonight.
Right.
The Patriots, even as a fan, look terrible this year. They're not very good. But when I see all of the money coming in on the Bills, that line opened up at 5.5. It dropped down, so we had the reverse line movement there. I said, you know what? Like, I got to stick to what I do here. Here's what I do. So I fired on the Patriots. And then at halftime, you know, the game was, 17-7 at the half. So I was like, all right, second half was plus a half. So I doubled down on the Patriots second half. And, you know, I probably should have hit that one at the end. We were close. We were 9 yards away from a touchdown. So didn't go well.
Well, and that's the thing too. And I feel like, you know, I hate to say this, but it always is that nobody knows. Do you know what I mean? It's like, if you can't just blindly, and you don't do this, I know you don't, but for bettors out there, you don't just blindly follow what the sharps are doing or fade the public in every single thing. You know, do your research and try to come up with your best guesstimate of what's going to happen. But at the end of the day, any given Sunday, any given Thursday, Monday, whatever it is, you know, anything can happen. And, you know, the sharps and the betting Jesus is not always right.
Yeah, definitely not always right. Nothing's 100%, especially when you're, especially when you're gambling. But, you know, I can feel for you, because earlier in the season, the same thing was happening to me, where I would get, you know, the side right. I was hitting those bets. Yeah. And then I was just taking way too many different props. And I would look at the end of the game and I'm down money. And I'm, you know, I was like, what am I doing here? So towards the end, towards, you know, the tail end of the season, I haven't even really been focusing too much on props. I've just been kind of hammering the sides. And it's gotten a lot better for me that way.
Well, yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Okay, moving on to maybe a happier conversation for you. Let's talk World Cup football. All right, so the group stages are coming to a close with today's games rounding out those stages. We have seen some soccer giants fall and some exciting upsets throughout the first 2 weeks of the tournament. Japan was an interesting one for me yesterday. Kenny, what has been some of your thoughts about what you've seen in the group stages, maybe some of your favorite moments? Besides you.
So my favorite moment is about to happen in maybe 20, 30 minutes or so, when Portugal wins Group H. I had a very large, I put a very big bet on Portugal to win Group H. So that one feels great, because it's not even a sweat at this point. Uruguay's up, so Portugal's looking good to secure that. But I mean, there's been a lot of games. I think when we first talked about the World Cup, when I gave Portugal out, I had said, I think this is going to be a little different from, you know, World Cups in the past, where teams are going to take some time to kind of find their offensive footing just because of when this World Cup is being played, right? And I think we've seen that kind of play out. If I don't know if you've seen some of the trends for like the first half, like I think it was like 70% of the games were going into the half 0-0. So, you know, we've seen some teams take a little bit to get going. We saw Argentina struggle. A lot of people thought, you know, they were going to be a juggernaut in this World Cup. And, you know, they kind of got off to a slow start, but they still advanced. Obviously, USA, as an American, how cool is that, that we get to see USA soccer still in the World Cup competing?
Yes.
Which I know we're going to talk about soon. But, yeah, there's a lot of exciting stuff going on. Some big matchups coming up. You know, Brazil, I think they're probably going to play Uruguay. That's a big team, big matchup. They're familiar with each other, so that should be a good one. Yesterday I was hoping if Spain actually drew in that game, they would have been on the opposite side of the bracket as Portugal. So I was really hoping for that because then it would have been kind of a clear-cut path for Portugal to get to the finals, but didn't go our way.
All right, well, let's talk about Team USA, the only team that I care about. After defeating Iran in a do-or-die match on Tuesday, the red, white, and blue are moving on to the round of 16. And they're facing a tough team in the Netherlands. So USA money line, plus 310, Netherlands minus 110. What can we expect from this match? And is there any bets that we should be making? Because I just blindly bet USA money line. Like, that's just kind of what I do on everything. I feel like it's my American duty, but it's maybe not the sharpest thing to do. So what do you think?
As our American duty, yeah, we have to bet USA money line. It's just there's no way around it. But as a bettor looking at the game, I feel like this game is going to be a little more similar to the USA England game where England was the better team on the field. USA was more of in a defensive position, kind of forced to defend and, you know, not get taken advantage of. I think this is going to be very similar. Netherlands is a better team. USA has looked great so far, and they've gotten better every game. Like every game that they've played, they're improving. Since that first game against Wales where they blew it, you know, from the win to Iran. So they definitely look good and they can win this game. There are ways to victory for them, but they're going to have to be very disciplined here because some of their midfielders, their defensive backs, they like to press forward. We saw it against Iran where they were kind of pressing forward a little bit. And, you know, against a team like Iran, you can do that. But against a team like a Netherlands or England or some of these, you know, world-class teams, if you start getting undisciplined and you leave too many gaps, like these guys will take advantage of that. So it comes down to if USA can, one, be disciplined. Is Christian Pulisic going to play? I know he said he's definitely going to play, but that's huge. We need Captain America out there.
Oh, Captain America, just sacrificing it all for his country, literally.
what do you think about that? You think, is he being a soft soccer player or should he get out? What do you think?
No, he's not being, first of all, he wants to play. And he said, you know, I think even from his hospital bed, he had tweeted out being, and I think he used some colorful words in there, but just basically like, F yeah, boys, you know, I'm, there's no way I'm not playing on Saturday. Now, of course, in the press conference, he's like, I'm doing everything that I can. He wants to play. If he's pulled back, it's not because of him. It's because of medical doctors and whatever. And I don't know, you know, what the protocols are like, obviously, you know, with American football and concussions and that kind of thing. There's almost nothing they can do about it, but I don't know how it is with soccer and on the world stage, but he wants to play. I think he's going to play. I do.
How crazy would it be? And like, just imagine the scene in America, if they upset the Netherlands and they advance to the next round, like it would be chaos here. It'd be absolute pandemonium.
Oh my God. I don't watch soccer. I'm not somewhat, but anytime there is a global competition, I'm all in on Team USA, whether it's swimming or soccer or gymnastics or even rhythmic gymnastics, you know, track, whatever it is, downhill skiing. I am Team USA through and through. So look, they've got the whole country behind them. And it was a big win for American bettors in the last round. I think it was like the most bets on soccer that Caesars had ever taken was on Team USA money line. And, you know, they paid out some hard work in American. So we just got to hope that happens again.
Yeah. American getting Team USA getting Americans paid. What's better than that, right?
Let's go. Moxie Bets is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. Must be 21 or older.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Time now for Capper's Corner, and we'll welcome back in our guest, Kenny Betsbig, a.k.a. the Betting Jesus. All right, first up, we've got the Titans against the Eagles. This will be the first time the Eagles wide receiver A.J. Brown will face his former team since being traded. It's also the first time that these two teams have met since 2018. Now, the Titans did win that game in overtime, 26-23. Eagles money line minus 220. Heavy favorites here, spread 4.5. Over under 44. Kenny, what are you looking at for this game?
I like the Titans a lot here in this spot. And I think you're going to be on the same page as me here with this one. I like them first half and full game spread. Titans are actually one of the most profitable teams in the NFL. Them and the Jets, surprisingly, in the first half. And then, you know, I think we've talked about this before. Anytime the Titans are underdogs, it's just you look at it and you're scratching your head because they're such a good team. They're well coached. They have an elite defense. And you almost always feel like it's the wrong bet, but then they come out and they cover, they win the game outright, and you're like, damn, why did I not take the Titans there? I'm going to take the Titans here. Vrabel, 21-7 against the spread as an underdog of 3+. And then Vrabel and Tannehill, 11-5-1 against the spread as a duo coming off a straight-up loss. So, you know, they're coming off that tough loss at home to the Bengals. I think we see the best performance from the Titans we're going to see this year. I think they're going to come into this game very fired up. Big game, a lot on the line for them. So, yeah, I like the Titans a lot in this spot.
I love the Titans a lot in this spot as well. And I agree with everything that you just said. I'm taking them on the full game side plus the 4.5. I really like them in the first half. So Tennessee plus 4.5. They've covered 5 straight road games. You've kind of alluded to this. Vrabel, he's 13-2 against the spread as an underdog of 4 or more in his career. And then you've got Derrick Henry, who has the second most rush yards this season versus the 29th ranked rush defense EPA per game this season. So I definitely like them full game. And when I was researching this, the Titans have a plus 62 point differential in the first half this season. That's good for third best in the NFL. But then it drops down to a minus 58 point differential in the second half. That's the second worst. So I do like them in the first half. I like them full game, but I think first half is my favorite bet. Is there any prop bets that you're looking at for this?
I mean, you kind of touched on it. I like Derrick Henry. I think he'll score. I like his over rushing yards. You know, he's coming off a tough game against the Bengals. He usually bounces back. He's in contention to lead the NFL in rushing again this year. Not again, because Jonathan Taylor did it last year, I'm pretty sure. But
he's nowhere close this year.
Yeah, if the Eagles defense, if you've watched them, they can't stop the run. You know, teams just kind of gouge them on the ground. So, you know, you put Derrick Henry in there, you kind of think good things will happen for him. So, yeah, I like Derrick Henry props. Maybe target A.J. Brown under props, you know, the reunion against his old team. They kind of come out and know how to game plan for him. So, you know, yeah, I like those props if you're going to target the prop market.
Yeah, maybe A.J. Brown goes under in his props. So I'm still going to take him for an anytime touchdown. I feel like there's just too much emotion on the line for him. He also has more than twice as many receiving touchdowns at 7 as all of the Titans wide receivers combined this year, which is at 3. So maybe he won't be as productive, but I do think he still gets one in the end zone. So I'll take him for an anytime. All right, next up, we're looking at the Commanders versus the Giants. The NFC Feast division rivalry is upon us. Since quarterback Taylor Heinicke has taken over as a starter, he is 5-1 and is looking to add another win under his belt. Dude is just a stud. The Giants, on the other hand, well, they're looking to bounce back with a win after their loss to the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. So Commanders minus 135, Giants 115, if you think they can pull this off, 2.5 spread favoring Commies, and the over-under is 40.5.
I'm going to go with the Commanders here. After that Sean Taylor statue unveiling, they need something good to take the headlines off of that. Taylor Heinicke, 7-0-1 against the spread.
First of all, wait, let's just talk about that for 1 second. It was a bunch of wires with a uniform on it. And I know his daughter came out, I believe, or his daughter's granddaughter was like, oh, the cleat, you know, the fact that they were soccer cleats, that was so great. But really, you couldn't get anything that looked like him? You couldn't shell out the money for that?
Yeah, and this isn't the first time that they've kind of dropped the ball on something like this. I saw, I think a few years ago, they were honoring him, and they had, something set up on, porter potties. And then I think it was last year, they put his number on the field, and it was just, they didn't even, fence it off, and then you had Jackson Mahomes doing TikToks on Sean Taylor's number.
No!
The Commanders not the top flight organization, right? A lot they're in the headlines for usually the wrong reasons, but on the football field they're getting it done. I know you and I thought they had a good chance to kind of make some noise this year, and they started slow, right? They started slow because for us, but now they're coming to life.
Yeah, they are. All right, so you like Commanders on the spread.
Yeah, I like the Commanders here. The money line's short. It's minus 130, 135, depending where you look. I would probably rather take the money line there rather than, lay the points and kind of hope for a cover at the end. But even the 2.5, I think they'll win by a field goal or more. And I also like the under here. I think the under is a good play.
I agree with you on both of these things. I like the Commanders minus the 2.5. The Commies, as I like to call them, have the best record in the NFL since week 6. They are 6-1. The Giants started 6-1, and they have since lost 3 of their past 4 games. Washington has also won and covered 4 straight road games with 13.5 points per game allowed during that streak. Heinicke 11-2-1 against the spread in his past 14 starts. He's also 5-0-1 this season against the spread. And look, we know that Don Martindale loves to put a blitz package together, right, for the G-men. They blitz at an NFL high of 47%. They blitzed Lamar Jackson at 50% last week. But Heineke's awareness of offense and his athleticism is actually pretty impressive. He can sidestep, he can scramble, duck, avoid the sack, kind of with the best of them in the NFL. Green Bay blitzed him a lot. Heinicke was pressured 51% of his dropbacks. They ended up still winning that game. You do have to kind of worry about, though, the Giants and their backdoor cover, though. They have, they love those single possession wins, and those single possession games are 6-1 against the spread as underdogs. I still would take the Commanders minus the 2.5, but I do like the money line. And to your point, I lean under as well. Under's 8-2 in the past 10 games. The total point per game has been 35.6 in that span for the Commanders. So that's the second fewest in the NFL behind the Broncos. Under.
Yeah, I think the Giants are starting to come back to reality, right? Like, they were a great story in the beginning of the season, Brian Daboll going for 2 to win the game. And, we see it year in, year out. Those little one possession wins are not sustainable over a long period of time. Like, the NFL is just so back and forth. Last year, the Raiders were very good in one possession games. This year, I don't think they've won a one possession game yet. So, I think the Giants are starting to regress back to the mean, and I think they'll struggle towards the end here.
I agree. And yeah, you're right. Both of us were on the Commanders. I mean, I had them winning the division, which that's not happening. But I do feel a little bit vindicated that they are kind of showing, who they are. And I love Heinicke. I love the story of Heinicke. I love, that he's finally got that true QB1 spot. I think he's earned it. And the team responds to him so well. And I would just like to get rid of the old quarterback, not Tom Brady, okay? But, let's get rid of Matt Ryan. We don't need Matt Ryan anymore. Let's get rid of Andy Dalton. We don't need Andy Dalton anymore. And let's get rid of, who am I talking about with the Commanders that I'm just blanking on right now?
Wentz?
Carson Wentz. Let's also get rid of Carson Wentz. Let's out with the old and in with the new, because those guys are doing nothing for anyone anymore. I don't even know that they did that much when they were at the height.
No, I mean, Matt Ryan was decent, but never got it done in the big games. And you look at Andy Dalton, what are the Saints doing not playing, Jameis Winston over Andy Dalton? Is Jameis Winston that bad? Because Andy Dalton is that bad.
That bad. I mean, I have a whiteboard where it's I will not bet Andy Dalton. I will not bet Matt Ryan. They have burned me. I will not bet Carson Wentz, which we don't have to worry about Carson Wentz anymore at this point. But those three guys can ruin a bet unlike anybody else in the league. But let's move on to something more positive. Let's move on to something a little bit more fun instead of talking about the trash quarterbacks of the NFL. And let's talk about the 2022 AFC Championship rematch of the Bengals versus the Chiefs. A win, and Joe Burrow will become the first quarterback to beat Mahomes three straight times. Chiefs, -135 on the money line. Bengals, 115. Spread, 2. This has been bet down. I believe it opened up at like 3.5. Over, under, 53. What do you think?
As much as I would like to take the Bengals here, you know, the Bengals are the sexy pick. Joe Burrow, yeah. Jamar Chase is coming back.
Yeah.
This is the, you know, this is the Patrick Mahomes FU tour. You know,
yep.
Everyone, including us, you know, before the show, we said we thought the Chargers would win that division. He's favorite for MVP right now. The Chargers are favorite to win the Chiefs are favorite to win the Super Bowl. And then you have that revenge factor of last year's mm-hmm. playoffs. I want to take the Bengals here, but I just can't do it. Chiefs, Mahomes under a field goal. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Give me the Chiefs all day there. I think Mahomes is going to keep it going, keep the pressure on. And I think they'll get that W.
I agree. I the narrative is so good for the Bengals, but are we really going to say that Joe Burrow is going to get three straight wins against Patrick Mahomes? I'm just looking at this stat right here. KC has won 26 straight games in November and December. It's the longest streak in the NFL of all time. Cincinnati has covered 8 of the past 9 games. And I know there's the narrative that, you know, since he's really good at covering and the Chiefs are really bad at covering, well, the Chiefs normally have pretty monster spreads. This is 2. This is under a field goal. So give me Patrick Mahomes all day long. And also give me Kelce to have 2 or more touchdowns at +400. He leads the NFL with 12 touchdowns in terms of tight ends. He leads the NFL with tight ends. He's had multiple games now with 3 touchdowns, with 2 hat tricks. Give me +400. Why not? Why not?
No. Yeah, why not? And pat yourself on the back, Katie, because I remember when I said I thought he could lead the NFL in receiving yards, you said probably not receiving yards, but I think he could lead the NFL in touchdowns. And I think he's doing it. So, yeah, keep that going. Kelce, anytime touchdown, 2 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns. Maybe he gets 4 this game. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, you might start calling me the Jesus of betting, the betting Jesus. Any prop bets that you're looking at for this game, or are you just taking the Chiefs?
I do like the Kelce anytime touchdown. I think it's -125 or -130 on Caesar Sportsbook. I'm tempted to take the over here. I think this game, you know, as we saw in the past, is going to be a shootout. Jamar Chase comes back. What was that?
Track meet.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be a shootout. You know, you got Joe Burrow, Mahomes, 2 of the best quarterbacks in the league, 2 of the best offenses in the NFL. The defenses are okay, but they're not great. I kind of like the over here, and I think the Chiefs will pull out the win.
Yeah, I like the Kelce for the anytime touchdown too, but why not at +400, sprinkle on 2 or more? That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. And how often do we see in the big games, Mahomes hits him? Like, that's his guy, right? You know, he loses Cheetah.
And nobody can stop him. Nobody's really been able to limit him. Not even the 49ers.
But you know what's, like, weird? When you watch the games and, you know, it's a big third down or they're in the red zone and I know where the ball's going. You know where the ball's going. But somehow Travis is wide open in the end zone or wide open running for a huge third down pickup. I don't know how they do it.
I don't know how they do it either, but I mean, it was the same with Green Bay and Devontae Adams. You know, you knew the ball was going there, and yet somehow he always figured out a way to get open. But that's why they're the best at what they do. And Travis Kelce, as I just said, obviously I'm a big George Kittle fan, but George Kittle does, you know, the Niners offense is so dynamic, and George Kittle really does a lot on blocking and different things. So, you know, at this point, it is safe to say that Kelce is the best tight end in the league and maybe ever. Right now, he's tied with Gronk for the most touchdowns in one season at this mark. I believe that the most Gronk has ever had is 17 touchdowns in one season. And right now, Kelce is on pace for 18. So he could be, you know, the greatest to ever do it at the end of the season.
Let's stop that.
Disrespectful to Gronk. Well, we'll see. Okay, moving on. The Jets are taking on the Vikings after head coach Robert Saleh made the decision to bench quarterback Zach Wilson, thank God, because he doesn't do anything, and start the great Mike White. Last week, gangrene showed up. I mean, everybody just loves Mike White, right? It's like the big Mike White hype, which I'm totally on board with. So Mini can actually clinch the NFC North with a win and a Detroit loss. Money line, Vikings minus 160, spread is 3, over under 44 and a half. What do you think?
So I'm Mike not White? Drinking the Mike White Kool-Aid like you are and everyone else is. Yeah. I mean, we just have to look back to last year, right? He came in the one game, lit it up, balled out, won some people a lot of money because he led the yes. that week in passing yards, if you remember that.
Yes.
But then the next two games were total flops by Mike White. And I expect that trend to continue here. Jets coming off a big, big win over the Bears. Not saying much. They're the Bears. And they didn't have Justin yeah. Fields, which is their whole offense, right? The Bears right. are nothing yes. without Justin Fields.
True.
True. So we got the Jets coming off I think they won by 17. It might have been more than 17, but I know it was 17 or more. I forget what the exact yeah. number was. Anytime I see a team coming off a big win like that, always a fade for me the next week. And then yeah. they're heading to Minnesota, one of the best home field advantages in the NFL. Skull Country is going to be going nuts for that game. Chance to win the division. Yeah, give me Minnesota by murder there in that spot. And it's Kirk Cousins in the 1 p.m. slot. He's the king there.
Yeah, well, not everyone is watching him. He does great. I still think the Vikings are frauds. I do. I will lean Vikings 3 with you, but I just don't like to bet them because I just think that they're frauds. And, you know, I think if for a team with their record, their point differential is like +5, which is the worst ever of a team with that record that they have. I do think that they will be leading this game, though. I agree with you. So I'm going to take Mike White over 33.5 passing attempts. So we had 28 attempts last week. So it's reasonable to believe that the Jets are going to be playing from behind, and it's going to force him to throw a little bit more. Plus, the Vikings let Mac Jones and the Patriots score 26 on them. So I do think he's going to be throwing a lot. I like him to go over what he did last week at 33.5. I'm not taking a side on this one, though, because I just –
you refuse to fade Mike White and you don't want to bet on Kirk Cousins.
That's it.
Now, I agree with you. I do think the Vikings are somewhat fraudulent. I don't think they're the elite, upper echelon in the NFC like a lot of people think they are. But I also think the Jets are a lower tier team that, again, have performed way better than expectations. So I think Minnesota will beat up on them here, and it'll just be another win where people will think Minnesota's for real, but right. this win is not, you know, this is kind of a, again, like a, this win is not, doesn't mean much because it's the Jets and Mike White. Like, come on.
Right. All right. Well, let's talk about the best game on the slate this weekend. My 49ers take on the Dolphins as head coach Mike McDaniel makes his trek back home. He spent 5 years with the 49ers. And I do feel like, Kenny, this game is the very much the cliche of like the unstoppable force, right? Which would be the Dolphins offense and the immovable object, which is the Niners defense. And it's like, who exactly is going to prevail? It's the fourth meeting in history between a team with 30 plus points in each of their last four games versus a team allowing 17 points in each of their last four games. So again, that movement versus that, or that force versus, I don't know. I said it right the first time. I can't say it again. You know what I mean? What do you think?
Yeah, no, I get what you mean for sure. And you know, we've been on the same page today, but I have a feeling this is where our paths differ. I lean Dolphins here with the points. Tua has been balling this year. He's, you know, I think the second or third favorite to win MVP. Tua is 9-4-1 against the spread for his career as an underdog. So he performs when, everything's stacked up against him. And this season, if you look at underdogs of 3 or more in games where the total is 47 or less, those dogs are covering 51-26 against the spread. So very, very good against the spread when you got 3 or more, total is 47 or less, which we have in this situation here. I think this is going to be a back and forth game. I think it's going to be a very exciting game down to the finish. I think it'll probably come down to a field goal. So if you're giving me Dolphins +4, 3.5 +4, depending where you look, I like the Dolphins there.
You know, Kenny, I'm okay with this. And do you want to know why? I believe you to be a 49ers mush because every time you fade us, we win. And every time you take us, we don't. So I'm okay with you fading the 49ers in this spot. You are the betting Jesus, but you are a mush for my 49ers. So I'm taking the Niners minus the 4, and I'm also leaning under as well. So the 49ers are coming off of 0 points in the second half for 4 straight games. It's the longest streak by any team in the Super Bowl era. And the Dolphins could be without both of their starting offensive tackles. You got Armstead and Jackson, one with a pectoral, one with an ankle. Armstead is the 14th highest graded OT by PFF this season. So him being out is going to be a huge loss to the Dolphins. Now, I know we're talking about how great this Dolphins offense is, and I can't even argue with it. They are powerful. But, you know, the Niners offense is pretty good too. Okay, so both of these teams, when they are healthy, they're actually both amongst the most dangerous offenses in football. Dolphins, of course, 8-0, 29.3 points per game when Tua plays the entire game this season. The 49ers are 4-0 with 26 points per game when Christian McCaffrey starts this season. So if you have two similar offenses, but yes, the Dolphins are a little bit better. But then when you look at the discrepancies between the defenses, the 49ers defense allows a league low of 4 yards per play versus motion this season. They also have the number one scoring defense, total defense, fewest yards per play, rush yards per game, pass touchdowns allowed this season, best. So give me the Niners at home, minus 4. It's an emotional game for a lot of people involved. You know, disparaging comments about Jimmy G. He's going to want to come up and show out. I feel like the defense is pissed off by maybe some things that Mostert said. I will say, I do believe that what Mostert said was taken out of context, because I did read that apparently his wife is best friends with Jimmy Garoppolo's sister-in-law. So if you've got that tight of a family connection, you're not going on and talking trash about him. That just isn't good for your marriage at home. So I do believe that was taken out of context, but it fired everybody up. And you know McDaniel wants to come into Levi's and beat Kyle Shanahan. And you know Kyle Shanahan would pretty much rather die than let McDaniel come in and do that. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a fun one.
I saw like the storyline behind Mostert, you know, talking crap, but yeah. What exactly did he say? What is alleged that he said?
Well, he said it, but it was taken out of context and packaged in a way that I don't think is in the way that he meant it to say. So they were asking him about, you know, his former team and how he felt about it. And he did seem slightly salty about what happened there, but he basically said, "We have a quarterback who can actually sling it." And that was, of course, talking about Tua. So when you use the word "actually," it makes it seem like it's against Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, what Mostert said is they weren't even talking about comparing the two teams. He was just asking, like, how do you feel about your quarterback? How do you feel about this? He was like, "Oh my God, we got a guy who actually sling it. We got this, we got that, da, da, da." And then it was packaged as like it was against Jimmy Garoppolo. And Jeff Wilson said he was a lot more tame with his answers because, you know, the Niners really did him a favor. They didn't have to let him go, but he came to them and said, "Hey, you got Christian McCaffrey. It's going to cut down into my carries and my play time. What can we do here?" And then, you know, they made that trade with the Dolphins, which was great for Jeff Wilson. But yeah, Mostert does seem a little bit salty. Look, I wouldn't want to piss off a Nick Bosa. I wouldn't want that guy coming at me. So we'll see.
Yeah, no, I don't think anyone wants that guy coming after him.
No. And it's so funny because Mike McDaniel did say that. And first of all, I love Mike McDaniel. I mean, how could you not? I appreciated him with the 49ers. I think he's hilarious as the head coach right now for the Dolphins. And there's been a lot of funny mic'd up things with him and Tua this week. But he also did say that Nick Bosa is a pass rusher, and he is constantly thinking about pass rushing, and that he was even doing pass rush, you know, moves or whatever on like the dispenser for hand sanitizer. So the guy's just like eat, sleep, pass rush, you know, and that's pretty much it. So we'll have to see what he does.
But you know, you said it. As a Patriots fan, I typically hate the Dolphins, but seeing Mike McDaniel's the man. Like, he's hilarious. Sarcasm, he's just so dry, and he says it with such a straight face. I love that type of humor. I think he's hilarious. I love Mike McDaniel.
I do too. And you know, it was unfortunate this season too, because he started off being so great, and then the two concussions happened with Tua, and the whole coaching staff and organization got a lot of flack, and even myself included, I was a little critical of Mike McDaniel and putting Tua out there again, and was that the best decision? And I didn't really like a lot of his responses, you know, when he was being questioned about it. Of course, he was extremely defensive, which makes a lot of sense. So I am happy that that has kind of brushed over a little bit and everybody's back to loving Mike McDaniel again, because he's just a good guy and a great coach. And Kyle Shanahan had a lot of amazing things to say about him as well. He said, you know, Mike was our computer. And so I do know that there's a lot of love, you know, between some of the players, certainly, and the coaches, but everybody wants to win. So it's going to be a fun one. It's going to be a fun one. I lean under on this one because just the defense of the 49ers, I mean, they've shut out four teams. Yeah, in the second half. You know what I'm trying to say here.
I have a question for you. It's a little off topic, and we've talked about it, you know, me, you, and Danny before in our group chat. But yeah. How is this game or the Bengals-Chiefs not a primetime game? And I was thinking, like, the NFL has been doing us no favors all year, and then it hit me. This is the first year they released that app where you can purchase, like, buy from them, you know, like the streaming app where you can watch all the games. It has to be because they want people to buy that app, right? If you're looking at the schedule, how are neither of these primetime spots? It's crazy to me.
And the Broncos got every primetime. I thank God they finally flexed out the Broncos in primetime, because I was just like, you know what? As much as we love Patrick Mahomes, America cannot watch Russell Wilson and this Broncos offense in primetime again. Like, please stop punishing us. So I was glad that that got flexed out. But yeah, I'm surprised that this didn't get flexed in somewhere. And same with the Bengals and KC. So maybe that's what it is. I don't know. I mean, I do get the Game Pass by doing kind of like a super secret way that I don't want to say over the air. So now let's talk about parlays for the weekend. What have you put together for us?
All right. So I'm not a big parlay guy, you know, typically try to keep it pretty conservative and, you know, as disciplined as possible. Sometimes, you know, you got to have a little fun, you know, let your hair down and have fun. So we're going to go. Yeah. Travis Kelce, anytime touchdown. We both loved that. Love it. So how could you not put that in there? I'm going to go Vikings money line, Dolphins money line.
You're a mush for the 49ers, so I'm happy for this weekend on there. I'm going Commanders minus the 2.5. I'm also taking the Packers minus 3 because there's just no way that Aaron Rodgers is going to play, and there's just no way that he's going to lose to the Bears again. He owns them. That just is what it is. So Packers minus 3, and I'm also going to take the Titans plus the 4.5 odds to win plus 568. What's yours? It's like 6 something.
Mine's plus 653.
Okay, plus 653. So those are our parlays. Now let's get into mocks, locks. My locks are going to be the Niners minus 4 and the Titans plus 3 in the first half. What about you?
I'm going to go one college football. I'm going to go Utah. Ooh. They actually play tonight versus USC in the Pac-12 championship. Mm-hmm. Yeah, huge game. It's a very big game for USC. One, because they have to win to stay in contention to make the college football playoffs. Caleb Williams looks like he has the Heisman pretty much locked up. But if he comes out and has a stinker, maybe not. Maybe he doesn't win the Heisman. So there's a lot of things on the line for USC here in Lincoln Riley's first year. But I'm going to go Utah. They beat them once already this year in Utah. Yeah. It was a close game. Shootout was like 42-40, I think, was the final score in that one. I think we'll see Utah. They've been balling. They just destroyed their opponent last week. So I'm gonna take them. All the money is on USC here. The line dropped to down to 2.5 in some spots. So we have the reverse line movement. Give me Utah with the points. I got them at plus 3. I like that. I feel good about it.
All right. Yeah. Like you said, that's the only loss USC has had this year. So that'll be a fun one to watch. All right. Kenny, thank you so much for your time today and for blessing us with all of your bets. This has been Moxie Bets presented by Caesar Sportsbook. Don't forget to follow us on social @MoxieBets. We'll see you Monday.